Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting. Today is April 14th, 2026, and the time is 7:02 p.m. Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes.
Here.
Mr. Jenkins.
Here.
Ms. Myers.
Here.
Mr. Sandin.
Here.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Here.
Mrs. Vincent.
Here.
Mrs. Williams.
Here.
Can we please stand for the pledge?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we begin, please note that this meeting is being live streamed and recorded, same as the work session. There are two cameras in use this evening, one focused on the Board of Education, another that would be used for any public commentary or presentations. By participating in this meeting, you acknowledge you may be captured on video. As a reminder, if you wish to address the board during public commentary, please fill out one of the forms that's on the table with the red cloth back there and hand it in to Jamie, our administrative assistant. Superintendent Shaw, are there any additions or deletions to the agenda tonight?
There are none, sir.
Very good. Then can I get a motion to approve the agenda as presented?
Motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Support. So I have support. Okay. Any discussion? Hearing none. Jamie, can I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jamie.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sandin.
Yes.
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 Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Hack.
Yes. And the motion carries. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for his superintendent comments.
Because we have a fairly loaded agenda today, I have nothing for my first set of comments.
Okay, thank you. Public commentary on board agenda items only. Do we have any, Brian?
We do. We have three of those.
Okay. Very good.
So I'm going to call Carol. You're becoming an expert here at this. So you
be less worried.
Hey, you should use your time wisely.
I should.
So, okay. Yep, you'll have 3 minutes. As you see, we got rid of our newfangled clock. We got something else coming. So I'm going to give you. I'll just let you know when you're at 1 minute if you're going on.
Right,
okay.
You.
Yep.
All right. Thank you.
Yes.
Again, I'm Carol Bollenberg, and I've worked for you guys for this district for 27 years.
I don't think your microphone's on.
Oh, how do I do this?
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So just let me start again. I'm Carol Bollenberg. I've worked for you guys for 27 years, and I've really enjoyed it. So I just wanted to say a few things after listening to our conversation and the comments last night at the work session. I just wanted to be able to tell you how they made me feel. So I've been here for long enough, and I've been in a lot of buildings, several buildings, and all of the buildings and the students are, like, amazing. I've enjoyed each one of them for whatever reason. What I've realized is that they all kind of meet a different need. You know, our elementary buildings really help give our kids a great start. I mean, I've witnessed it. With my own experience being in the buildings, and then our middle school is great at helping them make that transition from that little elementary kid to that high school kid. And I worked actually where I began was in the middle school, so I have seen that. And then now, for most of my time, I've been at Monroe High School, and I was very happy to be there. I was proud to be there. I got to tell you, I learn a lot in classes. I enjoy it very much. If you ask any of the teachers I've worked with, I'm back there raising my hand trying to clarify so when I know I can help. So I really have participated fully in all of the years I've worked for you guys, and I've seen a lot of different things. Monroe High has grown great programs to support our kids. And I think that we're good at that at Monroe Public Schools. We grow great programs that support our kids. And then I also see that Orchard is doing a great job supporting their kids, that Monroe High meets the needs of the students. And then the kids that maybe came to us for whatever reasons, there's various reasons. And the ones that came to us, we are able to meet their needs. And so I feel like the best thing we can do is to continue to do that. And I think I said this last night, the support that our staff can give these kids, the support that James gives us and helps has grown us into this great supportive team, this great family. I really appreciate it. And I want to see it continue, and I hope that you guys see the value of Orchard. You see the value of both of the high schools. They meet great needs, and changing that is going to not always meet the needs of some of our kids. So if we're meeting their needs now, let's just keep doing it. And I hope that you guys consider leaving Orchard as it is, where it's at. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next one up is Crystal Caldwell.
Hi, my name's Crystal Caldwell, and I have been in the district since 1980, working in different capacities. I taught for 33 years at the high school. I then went over to the middle school for a little bit, and then when COVID hit, I was moved over and worked in the virtual program when we were over at Riverside due to the number of students that we had. And now, 2 years ago, I was placed back at the middle school, which is a great place for me. I just want to say that, you know, I know we're talking about budget cuts. This is not my first go around in this district on budget cuts, okay? And I know it's hard for everybody involved because it affects some people's programs. But I know when Mr. Malalepsi called me 2 years ago to tell me that my placement was at the middle school, one of the things I had told him was that I had hoped to see that Orchard and the virtual program move over to Waterloo to make it more convenient for our students to access all the things that we have to offer at the high school. And I am here, I guess, as a proponent of moving them over to the high school, as they will have so many opportunities. Those kids can play sports. All they have to do is walk out to the field. They can participate in the band. They can participate in choir. They can take advantage of all of our CTE programs without having to have a transportation issue that many of them have. Will all of our kids do that? No. Okay. And are our kids at virtual and Orchard there for different reasons? Sure they are. Okay. I worked with kids at virtual who were there because of the anxiety issue, and they just couldn't function. But I also know that I have those kids, one of them's at University of Michigan right now. Okay, so it's not just about the different schools, but it's because it's a budget cut spot that we're in right now, and this is one of the things, we can cut this and still offer all of those kids those same programs at the high school. And if not, I would say we would offer them more. There's going to be an area in C-Wing. Those kids can all fit in C-Wing. They'll still have their individual classrooms and be able to, again, utilize the other areas. Okay, we have a full staff working over at Orchard, and I have nothing against any of that staff, and I'm sure they're doing a great job. But do we really have enough students attending on a daily basis there to warrant that full staff?
Thank you.
We have one left, Bill Lavoie.
Hi, board, staff, and the rest. I'm here tonight to speak against moving Orchard to the high school. As many of you know, my mother had helped to start that as a separate school to help kids. For me, I mean, some of it's a personal thing. I understand budget cuts, believe me. And I know these are hard decisions to make for all of you with this. My issue is that I believe that having a separate location helps some kids. There's a reason why they have trouble, and sometimes it's based on being in a larger high school, whether it's in C-Wing, wherever. They're still going to be in the same school. I understand what Ms. Caldwell had talked about maybe some of the opportunities as far as sports and the rest. But I would say that a lot of times removing kids from a certain situation where they were having issues is a better way to deal with the issues that they're having. So, like I said, I understand budget cuts. I would hope that this is something that at the very least would be temporary because of budget cuts if it's going to happen. But at the same time, I do believe that it would hurt certain individual kids, and aren't we here to educate all of the children? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That concludes public commentary.
Okay. Thank you, Brian. Next on the board, discussion action items. We have.
You want to do before, you're, oh. You're going to speak on Orchard?
Oh, okay. Okay, good.
Go right ahead. I'm going to start the timer.
Okay, thank you. Hi, I'm Jen Poupard. Thank you for having me back again to speak about this matter. Carol had mentioned that we can't meet, or that they meet the needs of the students at Orchard, and I was just wondering, why can't we meet the needs of the students at Monroe High School? That's a question that I have, because we are doing that for many students right now in an alternative capacity. And then Bill just mentioned that we need a separate location, but we can provide a separate location where kids feel safe and can, we have proven this, that we can keep the kids in a safe area where they feel comfortable to be at school and to learn and be a part of the building at whatever level that they feel comfortable. So I was just wondering if we can have some of those answers before we made a decision tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Okay. Is that it, Brian? Just want to double check?
That is
good. Okay, thank you. Next is board discussion action items. We have our staffing, contracted services, and resignation reports. Is there any discussion or questions on those reports? Hearing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Are there any items the board members would like to have moved off the consent agenda and moved over to new business?
I would like to move item 2A, which is the March 24th, 2026 board meeting number 6 closed, and move it for review. And I don't believe it needs to be new business. I need it, want it to be pulled for a special board meeting review or something.
Review and
yeah, okay. I don't know how you want to word that.
Probably the best way to just remove it for review with the secretary.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have support for that?
Support.
Okay. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, can we have roll call on approving the consent agenda with that particular item removed?
Of course.
Ms. Myers,
did we make a motion?
You did.
Oh, okay.
You did make a motion.
Thank you.
We had support.
I wasn't sure if I included all the motion or just removing that item. Okay.
Yeah.
You actually did just say removing the item.
Yeah.
You didn't add that, approve the remainder.
I move to approve the remainder of the consent agenda as stated.
And you had fair support enough. For me, so.
All right, Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Dinkins.
Yes.
Mr. Hatton.
Yes, and the motion carries. And Mary, we'll have a sidebar on that later. Okay, before we move into new business, I want to provide some background context. All the items on our agenda either been discussed in depth at prior work sessions or have been addressed in our weekly board briefs. Our work sessions are open to the public and are live streamed as well. Although it seems that we may move quickly, we have done our due diligence and thoroughly reviewed these prior to tonight's meeting. Next, I'll turn it over to Superintendent Shaw for the School Family Appreciation Week resolution.
All right, well, thank you very much. So I'm gonna read the School Family Appreciation Week resolution to us out loud here. Whereas the week of May 4th through 8th, 2026 is designated as School Family Appreciation Week, and whereas the Monroe Public Schools system consists of approximately 1,100 regular certified and support employees, and whereas these employees are dedicated to providing the best for our students, including clean and safe facilities, an appropriate learning environment, and a quality education program. Now, therefore, it be resolved that the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education appreciates the efforts of all of its employees, and be it further resolved that the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education proclaims the week of May 4th through the 8th, 2026 as School Family Appreciation Week, and be it further resolved that the following days are designated for recognition. Monday, May 4th, administrators and exempt employees. Tuesday, May 5th is teachers. Wednesday, May 6th, custodial maintenance, food service, bus drivers. Thursday, May 7th, assistants and kids club preschool employees, and Friday, May 8th, secretaries and all other support personnel. Be it further resolved that that this resolution be posted in all buildings to show support for all of the excellent service provided by our employees. That is my recommendation.
Okay, thank you, Superintendent Shaw. Can I get a motion regarding the School Family Appreciation Week?
I move to approve the 2026 School Family Appreciation Week resolution as presented by Mr. Shaw.
Do we have support?
I'll support it.
Any discussion?
So don't we have days that are assigned to some of these groups or weeks? So this doesn't replace any of that?
No, I read them off.
Yes, I thought there were other ones.
No, that covers all of our employees.
Okay. I thought there were other ones. So.
Nope, that's all of them.
Good. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can I have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, our next item is resolution in support of stormwater management. Mr. Payne.
Thank you, Mr. Shaw. We're asking the board to approve the attached board resolution to support our stormwater management plan created by Arch Environmental.
Good. Can I get a motion regarding the stormwater management plan?
I move to approve the attached board resolution to support our stormwater management plan created by Arch Environmental.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion?
The work on this, it said in the documents that it started on April 6th. Is that correct? April 6th through June 3rd?
That's the timeline. They're not going to start this until we approve it by the Board of Education as well as give them this resolution. The resolution is more part of the process, the legal process that EGLE's requiring.
Yeah.
But the second resolution is actually where they're going to actually do work.
Yeah.
We were going to have them start earlier, but the scope was considerably higher. So we worked to try to provide some of those materials to reduce that cost.
So we don't need to correct any dates in there as...
No, it's just what they were basically saying is we're going to do this work in a fiscal year. And when they submitted that the second time,
that was the date,
yes.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
David, if I remember, the cost is $16,100.
For the next resolution,
for the
yes.
next, yep. Yeah, okay.
This one is.
Oh, that's
this
for
is
the
just
arch.
A board resolution. They're asking.
Okay, that's for the arch. Yes. Okay, I'll hold off my question till then. Any further discussion on the stormwater management?
This is a requirement, not a big choice here.
Hearing none, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabatini.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
Keep right on rolling, sir. You're doing a great job.
All right, so for the next one, we're asking the board to approve the services of Arch Environmental in the amount not to exceed $16,100 and to be funded by the general fund and the sinking fund budgets. And this is where that scope of work that you referenced, that they're actually going to come out, survey some of our stormwater systems. We did work with Kohler Architect and some of our prints that we had. We submitted that. The initial cost was almost $30,000 to do this. So we kept trying to work it down. What could we do? And then what do we need them to help us with? And they also do a lot of work for our pools and for our bus garage transportation departments with the fuel tank. So Arch is a trusted partner with us. They do a lot of work with us. So they've been very helpful to work to get that price down. But once this initial survey is done, this will be property of Monroe Public Schools as well that we could have for future.
Okay, I have questions, but I'll wait till we get a motion. Can I get a motion regarding the Arch Environmental Permit Compliance Purchase?
Yes. I make a motion that we approve the services of Arch Environmental in an amount not to exceed $16,100 that is to be funded by the general fund and the site and sinking fund budgets.
Can I get support?
Support.
Okay, now my question. How much is coming out of the general fund versus the sinking fund?
I am waiting for confirmation on the scope of services as to which can be charged to the sinking fund and which have to be general fund.
So there's restrictions on what can go where?
Correct. Okay. I'm having our auditors take a look at that scope to see what my split should be.
Okay. Good. Any other discussion or questions? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, so for our final request this evening, we're asking the board to move to approve the purchase and installation of a new air conditioning system for our data center at the administration building by Automated Logic at a cost not to exceed $87,658.12. And this would be funded by the site sinking fund. And we also have Mr. Zimmerman here as well and representatives from Automated Logic if you guys have any questions. And just on a separate note, we do have some major issues with the system currently.
Can I get a motion regarding the air conditioning system for the data center?
I move to approve the proposed purchase and installation of a new air conditioning system for our data center at the administration building by Automated Logic at a cost not to exceed $87,658.12, and it will be funded by the site sinking fund budget.
Can I get support?
Support.
A couple questions. How old are the current air conditioning units?
They're probably between 3 and 4 years that we purchased them, but one of them was used, and we're not sure how old it was.
Okay.
One of the problems with what we put in there is they're running 24/7, and they're undersized for the unit. We tried to get by until part of our plan was when we did this building to do the air conditioning and do all this in one time. So we kept trying to limp along until we actually got to this point. But we're now at the point where we really have to do something because we got doors propped open and we haven't even hit the hot season. So Larry did a good job working with them designing it to where we can feed the cool air in the front, exhaust the heat on the back, but also bring in outside air, which these systems can't do. And they're just running 24/7 until they just can't keep up. We're wearing them out.
Larry, you want to come give us your...
Sure. Yeah. I'll give you the dime tour.
We missed you, so come talk to us.
The units we have in place right now, two of them together are 6 ton. We have 9 ton of heat in there, so we're undersized coming out of the gate. The one unit you ask how old it was, it's 10 years old. It was used when it was put in. When it's January and it's 10 below zero, those units are still running. With our proposed, it will pull the nice, cold, dry air from the winter and cool the service that way. Should save us quite a bit of money in electricity.
See, it sounds like they'll be more energy efficient.
Oh, absolutely. Because we're going from a 6-ton unit to a 10-ton unit. And then we're putting in an economizer where we can pull air from outside.
Okay.
So when it's nice and cool, Automated Logic, that logic will say, nope, we're not going to run those. We'll pull it from the outside.
Okay.
So what's the installation time frame?
What is your installation time frame?
We're looking 3 to 4 weeks before the equipment will arrive, and okay, then probably about give or take 2 weeks to get everything installed.
Well, so we're going to hit the 50s soon, so we'll be
yes,
good.
Yes, I'm hoping. Any other questions?
I don't know.
Thanks, Larry. Hearing no more questions, discussion, Jamie, can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Tarassi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Malalopsy for communicable disease slides approval.
Thank you. This obviously came out of our the new health standards that were presented on about a month ago, and with the new requirement from MDE that by the end of fifth grade, our students need to have exposure to HIV and communicable disease slides prevention. These slides did go through the SEEB committee, went through public hearing, and were recommended by the SEEB committee in grades 4, 5, and 6. Now with the change in law, we're asking the board to approve those slides for fifth grade. So, board, we ask you to move to approve the communicable diseases slides for grades 5.
Can I get a motion regarding the communicable diseases slides?
I move to approve the communicable diseases slides for grade 5.
Do we have support?
Support.
Discussion, questions?
So when we approved these slides, we approved them for sixth grade, and now the law has changed, so it's fifth grade. In the language of the way it's written, the state said anywhere from 3rd to 5th grade. Can we ensure that our paperwork doesn't do 3rd and 4th, it just says 5th grade?
Your motion will.
Not just the motion, but all the documentation, because I was looking through that some of that documentation we had received that you gave that booklet, and it still said, hey, 3 to 5. And so I just want to ensure that it's clear.
Yes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was easy.
And I think because our new format is the 5th and 6th grades are exclusively at Cantrick, that should be pretty easy.
Yeah. Yep. So they will, if approved, they will do those with the 5th and 6th graders. So we're compliant. Okay.
And this doesn't have anything to do with like all the substance usage or anything like that.
There's one tiny piece that they get with DARE.
They do with DARE. I just want to make sure we're making everybody aware that it included not just the slides, but the DARE and the, what was it, substance use?
Substance use and misuse.
Yes, thank you.
Okay. Any additional questions or discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Yes, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Ms. Myers.
Yes.
Mr. Sabadini.
Yes.
Mrs. Taurasi.
Yes.
Mrs. Vincent.
Yes.
Mrs. Williams.
Yes.
Mr. Heck.
Yes, and the motion carries.
All right, so if I may, on letter F, thank you, Dave, I appreciate that. So we want to, before we get into a motion, there was a lot of conversation last night. And so this morning, our team came together, took it all in, and we wanted to take a moment right here to go over some thought patterns that might help the board through all this, and hopefully even our community members. And then I will also, as David is doing that, I'll get into a couple questions that came around for expenses.
Well, presentation first.
I do want to, you know, as I was reminded of this past couple weekends when we sit around with family members from all over, sitting around like the Easter table, like all things can be true and right. And with that, I want to thank everyone who's come in to talk about their thoughts on Orchard, their perspectives on Orchard, the comments by the staff, and what they do for our students. All of those are absolutely true. So I did want to thank you for that and everyone who's come to participate to share their opinion. The first thing we'd like to do is, I guess, kind of talk about the roadmap to how we got here to this decision. You see some of the estimated savings that we are proposing through a couple different options. And the savings are, like it is, you know, when we to address some of the things that I've heard or questions, you know, roughly 10% of the chunk that we're trying to reduce could come from this. And we do think that's substantial. We don't think that it's like a low-hanging fruit or anything like that. We think that there's efficiencies to be had and opportunities for students to be gained, and that's why we're bringing it towards you or to you. Option A, which is kind of the starting point, would be a full consolidation of Orchard Center students and Monroe students to Monroe High School. This option fully consolidates both Monroe Virtual and Orchard Center students to Monroe High. Monroe Virtual would be moved to the high school campus. It would be incorporated there within Monroe High. Orchard students would no longer operate or attend a separate site. And with this proposal, all students would be integrated into the current programming that Monroe High has. That would be full virtual. That would be like a traditional student that has in-person learning and all the pathways that are available to them. And then also Trojan Academy, which again is a program similar to what Orchard does for students that might be credit deficient or need something extra that many of our students need. With that move, our students would no longer have the barrier of transportation that was brought up before. They would have access to the fine arts, dual enrollment classes, direct college classes, electives, athletics, as well as the social emotional support staff that the high school has. We did listen to the board, and we've, you know, with
Mary's comments last night, and we've hinted at something extra in case those students from Orchard, when they transition to the high school, don't fit in one of those three avenues, whether it's fully virtual, whether it is like the traditional pathway, changing classes every period, or Trojan Academy. We do realize that in-person learning, and we heard that from the team at Orchard who works with these students every day, that that is best for their students. And we hinted at something else, and Mary hinted at it last night as well. To give you a little bit more detail about what that could look like would be something like option B. Option B is a full consolidation with additional flexible and blended programming at Monroe High. This option also consolidates Monroe Virtual and Orchard Center into Monroe High School, but it expands student learning options and honors the pillars of Orchard Center High School, being trauma-informed, focusing on relationship, a smaller class size, and an intentional small school setting somewhere within Monroe High School. Virtual would be placed at Monroe High, similar to Proposal A. Orchard students would attend Monroe High School, similar to Option A. They would have the opportunity to attend traditional classes, changing every period and having those in-person instructors. They would have the opportunity to enroll in a fully virtual type program, Trojan Academy. But to give you more details on what we are thinking, and this idea came from dialogue about possibilities with Steve, with his team, with James and his team about what that could look like. And what we are thinking, and this isn't a wish, this isn't a magic wand, this is something that our high school staff at both schools do every day. They look at a student and they take into account their needs, and it might be blended where a student is in the virtual setting, but they're pushed out to in-person instructors. That happens on a regular basis. And what Monroe High would do is would create something a little bit more formal where recognizing the importance of in-person learning, there would be a space that honors what Orchard Center does best in Monroe High, where students would receive in-person learning in math and ELA in a small classroom setting, 10 to 15 students for part of their day. The rest of their day would be in a virtual setting. And again, all these things aren't fixed. We want students to look and see the opportunities and say, I want to go choir. I want to do marching band. I want to take a welding class. But when they're not in in-person math and ELA, they would be in a virtual setting on some sort of alternative pacing where they would be chipping away at their credits one class at a time over that 2.5 to 3 week period. Those are lessons that we've learned from Trojan Academy and the virtual program at Orchard, where sometimes six classes is too much. Sometimes we need to focus that down. So recognizing that in-person math and ELA are their challenges for students, those classes would be in person. Virtual would be the remainder of the day, where we hope, again, those students on an individual basis would, pottery, ceramics, business, all of those things being available on site. Again, option B eliminates the barrier of transportation. As some folks said, the athletic teams are right there. And all of this design, again, would be intentional to take into account student need and honor what each of those students truly needs to be successful. Are there any questions on option A or option B? Yes.
Currently, we have about 75-ish kids in Trojan Academy. Is that correct?
Right now, it's 78.
Okay. With how many graduating or on target to graduate?
35. 32 are struggling, but I believe that they will, with the supports in place, I believe we'll have 35 graduate this school year.
And so we'll have the room for students from Orchard, if they want to participate in the Trojan Academy with no cap on students.
We would
It's
obviously it's based on need and student desire, right? And as you see, their space is available. But as you see, as we go through these, the numbers on the slides change based on the amount of supports. You know, like Monroe High, if there's 80 or so kids on Orchard's books, and all those students elect to go traditional learning, they might be able to be absorbed into the current master schedule that Steve and his team are proposing. If that's not the case, we need to plan for those students, and that's why we see the estimated savings in these plans reduce as we move through.
I thought the cap on Trojan Academy was 60 students.
If you want it, so they
come up, stand next to Dave.
Last bullet point. We've already broken them
all. We will get a motion here.
Okay. We cap the program at 60 students at a time. However, when students finish the requirements for graduation, that opens up a spot in the classroom that that student is no longer taking. So then we are able to add another student to the program. So we've started with 60, and as we have had 17 students move on and move forward with life and go on to their post-secondary planning, we have opened up those seats for those underclassmen. Or actually, we just had a recent senior who had a circumstance come up, and we've added that person to the program, but we at 60 at a time right now with the staffing that we have available. If we had more staffing available, then we would be able to move that cap to a different number.
And you have the space on the Trojan Academy section? Or
we would have to have more space in the building dedicated towards that. I think that's been discussed. David, I'll let you speak on that.
Yep. Working with Steve, the space factor is not an issue for current virtual, for this type of hybrid blend, and also an expansion of Trojan Academy. They would be in a space intentional in the high school to give students what they need outside the hustle and bustle. But obviously, we would want to include them, include all students in everything, all opportunities.
So, because we're talking about space, you made me think of it. So, currently, we're utilizing all the space at the high school. So, all wings are being utilized. Now, not every room, okay, but all wings of the building are being utilized. So, you have indicated to take exclusively C wing and use it for your proposed plan. Is that what I heard yesterday?
I would say that is the space that is the location that we are.
We've heard it a few times.
We are using as a proposal.
Yeah, I thought so. I was just clarifying that you're talking about taking the entire C wing and using it for your plan.
I would not say entire.
Just trying to catch up on what you're saying. That's it. Like seriously, I just want to know clearly what the space proposal is. Obviously, we've been in Trojan Academy. They're not going to fit all in there. And then I looked at, so what space are we talking? If you're talking about, never mind.
There are science labs that we would not be utilizing in C-Wing. There are empty classrooms in C-Wing, and C-Wing's also located closely to an auxiliary parking area. So I think that is why they were discussing choosing C-Wing. We also are utilizing a couple of classrooms right now for a Trojan Academy light. I have no better term for it than that. That's how we kind of refer to it as a staff. Students who are getting a couple hours a day, either through credit recovery or taking a full Edgenuity class as the first time they've taken an English or a math course. So we already are in C-Wing, which is located closely to the Lower Learning Commons and the Upper Learning Commons, that area.
Isn't C-Wing currently where our ninth graders are?
I can't remember.
Yep,
where
some of the Freshman Academy is located in C-Wing.
Mostly upper.
David, I got a question, too.
Sorry.
I mean, one of the benefits for the kids at Orchard is that you guys are on trimesters there, and obviously the high school's on semesters, and it gives these kids a chance to catch up sometimes. Will that continue that Orchard inside Monroe will stay on trimesters?
So I think when you're in any inside any alternative learning space, time doesn't matter. You know, if you like learning to ride a bike, you know, you master those standards a little bit later, you still know how to ride a bike, you should still get credit. That's what the Michigan Merit Curriculum says. You know, seat time doesn't matter, how long you're in that class. We have to be flexible with our students. I wouldn't want to make a declaration that these programs would be on trimesters, but I don't think there would be any point in a alternative learning setting to pull the rug out from a student when there's a hard timeline. That's what alternative learning is about, David, being
Trojan
flexible.
Time out.
Let's let David get through his presentation, and then we're going to need a motion.
Because we don't have a motion on the floor, so we're holding a discussion on a topic that we don't have a motion for.
Okay. Fair enough.
Go through it.
Okay. So that was option B. Again, option B is something that can be teased out and developed. It's something that both high schools do every day to meet the needs of students. Option C would be to maintain Orchard Center and virtual with enhanced hybrid access. It is essentially leaving Orchard and virtual at their current site, but taking the alternative programming that I just described, using that model and putting that at Orchard, where students would receive some of their day in person in a math or ELA classroom, and then the remainder of that day would be for virtual instruction, again, to chip away at that coursework, those credits that are needed. It also frees up time during the day for students to travel to and from the high school, because they would be having a math class, an ELA class. They have a full schedule, but they're really only working on that additional coursework or that additional one or two courses like they would in Trojan Academy. And we want students to say, I want to explore other options, potentially at the high school. It does bring the transportation barrier back into it, but it uses the lessons learned from alternative pacing to open up students to Monroe High School opportunities. They would have more time in their day because they wouldn't be on a fixed schedule. They would have access to the CTE direct credit, dual enrollment and direct college options, arts, fine arts, electives, and athletics. And again, when you are leaving students at the Orchard Center site, obviously the estimated savings under this model is reduced a little bit. So those are options for the board. And I'm going to turn it back over to you.
Okay.
And I'm going to go sit down.
I'll make this easy as the parliamentarian. First of all, that discussion shouldn't have taken place.
Understand.
But we're going to go ahead. I'm going to make a motion right now.
Let me explain
There's only one motion we can make according to what we have on our agenda. There's only one motion at this point.
Well, I think there's options.
There's options where?
Okay.
No.
Okay. So.
There's no options.
No, hold on. There's really two options. We can make a motion to approve the consolidation of Orchard High School students and Monroe virtual students to Monroe High School, or the other option is we can choose, since most of this information is relatively new, to postpone this agenda item to the next board meeting.
I'm going to make a motion, okay?
You can make a motion.
I move to approve the consolidation of Orchard Center High School students and Monroe virtual students to Monroe High School.
Do I have support for that?
Support.
Okay. Additional discussion?
I struggle with how to do this discussion where everybody gets time, but I'll start at this end and hopefully work our way all around way to the other end. So I had a couple questions that developed. You know, we've got a daily enrollment number. We have an enrollment number. My concern was, what is the daily attendance number? I ask a learned person, and I think the daily enrollment data is around 40. We have, from what I can tell, 7 teachers. So we're looking at roughly a 5 or 6 to 1 ratio of student to teacher in the present building. I also, if we're making a financial decision, because I feel like this is part of it, is a financial decision, I would say that the major asset we have is the building and the property. That is the asset we hold. And that's where the most money can be made. So if I were looking at it a pure financial person, I would say if you're going to do the consolidation, then you're going to sell the building. Whether that's in year one, year two, year three, year four, you're going to sell it at some point. Because unless you can tell me that you're going to, and maybe these conversations have already happened, but unless you can tell me who's going to take up that building, who's going to rent it from us, what kind of revenue would we expect from rental of that building?
And the only person, only group that's ever said something to me, and this was a couple of years ago, was the ISD for preschools. But otherwise, and then when I talked to them recently, they've already purchased the Wolf Lodge Jefferson District, and so they've got a program they're going to put over there. So at this time, there's no conversations about any other usage for that building.
So we're going to look at a building that I think Dave gave us a bit of a number last night. Correct me if I'm wrong, around $100,000 plus probably to hold the building. So that would eat into whatever savings we're talking about here, whether the low or the high end, whatever it is, that number comes out. So I'm back to if we're making a financial decision, which I am not proposing we make a financial decision, but in pure financial terms, that building's going to get sold at some point. Maybe not by this board, maybe not by this superintendent. I don't know, but that building will go somewhere. Because there'd be no reason to hold a building. We did that with Navarre Field. We actually had a tenant at Navarre Field, but we were very all happy to get rid of that building. So that would be my concern from my financial standpoint. But back to the numbers. So 10 to 15 in a class certainly elevates the number of current, let's say, 6 to 1, 7 to 1, whatever the number. So that's my comments for the moment on discussion.
Gary?
I'm just going to, again, reiterate and clarify the same question I had last night. Is the proposed savings, the estimated savings, $650,000 to $850,000? Are we talking that's staff, that's teachers?
So to bring...
we kind of did.
So... Last night I was trying to be very delicate with that, because when we start talking about staff, everyone gets real anxious. What you have is we have staff in our that are on contracts, staff that are also have seniority rights, and so we know that through the process of the severance work, we know that through the if we were to make this move, that our staff that's in Orchard have seniority rights, so they'd be moving. And so there would be that trickle-down effect of people being moved through the whole system. And so what you'll have is that many of the people that were, for example, like the severance plan, would be replaced through this process. We have other employees that we know as past practice in our district that will end up leaving us throughout the summer that these employees would also fill. So when we were trying to put down a number, it reflected this mentality. If we didn't have a single bit of movement, we didn't have a single thing because we didn't have the seniority list or anything of that sort, what is that cost then of a potential savings? And that's how that was generated.
Sorry, I didn't mean to do that.
I just wanted to be clear what we were talking about.
Let me be more clear though, because I think that's an important part. At some point in time, there will be a reduction of staff in our school district through this process. Now, in what we've done, though, by putting the severance package together and also with employees that are just going to, which naturally happens, leave us, there's high potential that none of our teaching staff all of our teaching staff should still be with us next year. So when we say it's employees, yes, it is an employee cost, but it's going to trickle itself down.
Did the estimated savings include any of that
not having the heat on all the time and not having maintenance and cleaning.
That's why there's that larger range right there. You're from busing, so the busing to cleaning and heat and utilities, it's about $100,000. So busing each year is right around $10,000. And you'll still leave some of the utilities on, so you're, instead of seeing a 20, you know, it's cost about $28,000 for utilities, you'll still have about $10,000 bill for that. The big one will be the cleaning. You won't be throwing salt in the parking lot, and that kind of stuff that we do now.
Cassie, didn't you say it's $1.1 million to run Orchard every year, total cost?
That was the district level budget for Orchard, yes.
$1.1 million. So we're looking at a reduction of $1 million. No, we're not.
No.
Right, include staff. I understand that.
Yeah. Right. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I'll go ahead. So I supported the motion because we need a motion on the table in order to have our discussion. So thank you for making that, and we're supporting that. The clarification on the staffing is, I think, where we struggle the most, is because I understand the difficulty in providing numbers based on staffing, but unfortunately we're being asked to make a decision on staffing that we don't have any idea of what it's going to be. And so that's difficult for us to make a decision on that regard. And I know yesterday we had mentioned, look, we kind of really need to know what these numbers stand for. And that was my point when I said I just don't see that. The other thing, I thought I heard you say is that we will retain teachers. Was that, I didn't hear exactly what you worded when you said with the teachers.
Yeah, so if we're talking specifically about teachers, because when we looked at the certified
all staff. Teachers or Orchard teachers, I just don't know what we're talking about.
All of our teachers are the certified staff.
Okay.
So that's why I was very cautious even last night, and very cautious even here, because our teaching staff is our teaching staff. And I think that's an important distinction, is it doesn't matter if you're a teacher at Orchard or a teacher at Monroe Middle School or a teacher at Monroe High School or elementary teacher, you hold certification. And so they're all our teachers. And when I was referring to our teaching staff, our certified staff, our teachers, there'll be positions for them that may still be available. I can't speak specifically because you have teaching certificates and what they're qualified teaching. So there still may be one teacher in our system that could not be receiving a layoff. I don't know for a fact, because you'll still see, like we said last night, you have, we have 17, we'll get down to the teaching ranks. I think it was like seven or eight that are at the secondary level. That took severance package. But then we also had individuals that have already given notice of them not returning next year. So my point to that is that when it comes to the teaching staff, we'll follow the process of the contract for how they move about in the system for openings. And so we already know that we have, like I said, you know, from kindergarten or for the elementary to high school level, based on the severance package, and some others are giving us indication, there's already roughly 15 positions that are not going to be filled next year. Well, I should say, I'm sorry, let me rephrase that, that are people leaving our system.
No, you're not.
I didn't say not replacing, because
I'm just catching the rest of your sentence.
Because you're still going to have transfers, you're still going to have specific needs. See, I think one of the things that people think is that every employee that's at Orchard is losing their job, and that's not the case. At all. That's not even close. It's more that there's transfers and there's rights of placement for all of our employees that are in Orchard.
So thank you for the clarification on that. The other part of that is, I know that I've said it many times, I'm for maintaining our teaching staff. I am not for increasing class sizes. I'm not for split classes. But when we specifically talk about Orchard, one of the things, Brian, I'm not questioning your numbers, but I am in some regard, because we had a conversation about this in one of our other sessions, and it was the amount of people, the students that were on the books, I believe is how it was worded, for Orchard, but it differed from the active group going. And so I believe the number was 100 and something were like on the books, yeah. But actively going was like 86. 83.
Well, I'll be happy to receive that data. No
yeah.
one's given us that data. Someone today gave me that data, but
yeah.
no one's given me the, if there's an official version of the data, I want to hear.
Yeah, I just got that verbally, yeah, and I, right. that was my understanding.
Hearing,
and the 80 something was the number we've been using,
yeah.
and so that's why I wanted to point that out. The we've been talking about this for a little while. We knew this time was coming, so I really don't understand this whole option thing. This is the last minute. We received this at 3:00 today.
So,
and so I'm personally, when it comes to that, like for me, that's not even something for me to consider because, again, it wasn't anything that was on the purview prior to tonight. So
let's let Mary.
Sure. If this decision, if this vote passes tonight, does the board decide which of the two consolidation options is implemented? Does the board make a recommendation for which of the two consolidation options should be implemented? Is that a decision that is left to further discussions? And then, like, what does that process look like?
That is a good question regarding that. Typically, we don't get that deep in the weeds on
right.
what I would call curriculum. That would be up to the administration to determine which of those options to go forward with.
You okay. would consider that curriculum?
I mean,
it's not.
Yeah. In format.
It's structuring.
Yeah, but.
I would think that the board.
We're voting on, your motion is to just move it.
If it were all curriculum, then why would we be having this discussion? Because the administration could have done what they wanted to, and they could have either said we're consolidating Orchard or not consolidating.
No, because we're making a decision also on a facility.
Okay.
So we're making a decision on a facility and moving students from facility A to facility B.
Okay.
And what they do in facility B is more of an administrative issue. That's my take. Okay. Certainly welcome to opposing points of view.
I think in the cleanest world.
Yeah.
In the cleanest world, we would vote on this motion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The motion goes yay or nay.
Yeah.
And then if we don't want to do that with Orchard, then I would think that you could submit. Then options could be talked about. But I think at that point, those are options that. I don't think the administration themselves can make that choice. Once we've said we're not moving, Orchard to Monroe, then is this discussion done? None of these other things matter.
That's right. A and B are off the table.
Okay.
I mean, C is still a potential because that still remains at
sure.
Orchard.
Sure. I hear that. Yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
Okay. Let me get back to Mary.
Yeah, thank you. For the presentation, thank you, Mr. Malalepsi, for your presentation tonight. I am grateful for that because I think it was a really good summary of what was discussed at our previous meetings. So from my perspective, I don't see it as novel information. I see it as information that we have already said and discussed in previous iterations. It was just put before us in a concise format with additional supports of what that could look like in reality. So, yes, some of it is newer because I brought some things up at our work session yesterday, but we as a board have made very speedy decisions in the past about bus purchases and other things, which are big purchases and things like that. And we've also made very speedy decisions about finance and other things like that. And I understand that we shouldn't be taking this lightly, but I do want to also point out that we've had lots of time to ruminate on this.
Gary, further?
No, I'm good.
Stacy?
I just have to say, I don't like the fact that the community will be losing another school down there. If you've ever been to a graduation down in, or at Orchard, it is a very special place. Also, when we sold Navarre, we were told that we're not in the business of real estate. So like Brian said, I can see if the building is not being used, I could see it possibly being sold in the future. And just clarification, the difference between A and B is staffing?
I think it is. It is staffing. Like we, I don't think our intention is to say to board makes a motion, you know, it's a free for all. We want to be intentional and thoughtful about the options that we give our students, knowing that we may need to create something for those that don't choose virtual, don't like the idea of receiving their learning virtually in the same space in Trojan Academy or that traditional model. So option two is like, yes, there's going to be costs with meeting the needs of our kids and providing a different opportunity, a fourth pathway, so to speak, for them to learn. So I guess option A is bare bones. That is not what I think is best. I don't think anyone does, but it's just, it's simple, as simply put as it can be. And option B is what Mary was getting at last night.
I'm still missing Lincoln School, so.
Okay.
Gary and I both went to Lincoln School, so I'm still missing that.
So there's nothing, is there anything to say if we vote to not move Orchard to Monroe? I'm not saying you can't bring one of these two options back to the table. That's Are we saying no?
That's been a point of discussion based on Robert's rules in the past.
Well, that's what
you can't redo the motion.
Right. That's why I'm saying I think this interdicted a confusion, a muddling to this whole thing that didn't need to happen.
I agree.
That's why
I think we should take them out of the mix.
It is possible, you know, again, another option is to postpone the motion until the next meeting and have further discussion.
It's up to him to rescind it.
Well, we have to vote on this motion or...
Or we can,
or
again,
can
motion,
it,
we
right?
can move to table it.
So the other thing is...
Then you're asking, I would have to move to table.
You would have to approve that, yes.
So yeah. The other thing is, when we... had this decision put up before us, we questioned why now, why is it in the agenda the way it is, what is the purpose for it happening tonight? And we were told it's in order for us to finalize a budget by June 30th. It was not for us to determine how the processes of what may be happening, difference in the schools, none of that was a consideration. So I think that we stick with what we started with. We need a budget by June 30th. It has to be balanced. We have to cut costs. Those costs have to be cut somewhere. There's a lot of things that we never discussed, like purchase services. That's like $15 million budget, you know? So maybe there's other places we can look. I don't know what the answer is, but this is what's before us tonight. This was put up to balance a budget. I think we should keep ourselves focused on that. If something comes up down the road to address maybe needs in another way, the board is always open to those options. But we're here for budget discussion.
Okay. You made the motion.
Right.
You can request to have it tabled.
I don't favor tabling because I don't think materially that's going to change anything out there. I mean, would you flesh these plans out more? I mean, they're in front of us. This is what someone said were options. Are we going to have more options on the options? I'm not in favor of tabling, so okay. I stick with my motion. It was supported. We can vote.
In that case, any further discussion? Hearing none, Jamie, can we have roll call, please?
Can you, the motion is?
Oh, yeah. I guess let's repeat the motion.
Yes.
Motion by Mr. Sabadini, support by Ms. Myers, to approve the consolidation of Orchard Center High School students and Monroe Virtual students to Monroe High School.
Okay. Thank you, Jamie. Okay. Can we have roll call then, please?
Yes. Ms. Myers?
No.
Mr. Sabadini?
No.
Mrs. Tarassi?
No.
Mrs. Vincent?
Yes.
Mrs. Williams?
No.
Mr. Heck?
Did you get Mr. Jenkins?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Jenkins.
Yes.
Mr. Heck?
No. So the motion fails. Was that 5-2?
5-2.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Very good. Next, we'll move on to old business. Now turn it over to Superintendent Shaw and Mrs. Shook for the state fiscal monitoring update.
Okay. So from our, go ahead.
Well, our next phone call is scheduled for Monday, so okay. We don't have any update from the last as of yet.
Okay.
So next board meeting, we update.
Okay. Very good.
And then the SEL discussion, it still sits on here, so I didn't, it's still for the board.
So I think something we asked for, and I actually got to see it today, I was at Raisinville, I got to see an SEL done by Darren using trails in a third grade class. Mm-hmm. It was on empathy, thought it was great. I think we're still asking for a trails presentation to be done here, basically a lesson to be done before the board. I think that would be useful. I found it very useful for me. So,
if that
can kind of move that ball along,
that reminder. Yeah.
That's a good idea. Yep.
In that regard, one of the other things that when I first brought up this conversation we did was looking at what are we doing, and so one of the things that I've done myself too as well is educate myself on other SEL programs. I call them programs because I don't know what else to call them. Trails is. Is it an app, is it a program, whatever we can categorize that. But there are also other ones out there, and I would be open to exploring maybe some other options out there that look at it maybe in a more conducive, different way. And I would welcome the presentation of some of those. And I'd be happy to give you some ideas. But I think we need to continue because if I recall correctly, in the upcoming budget conversations, you know, there's a lot happening, and I just want to make sure we're tying everything together in unison. I just don't want to leave it sitting out there. There are some different SEL programs.
Curriculum,
whatever you want to call them, curriculums.
Yeah. Okay. Any other discussion? Okay.
All right. Thank you very much. And then,
is that totaling our SEL discussion?
Well, if you have something
I do.
Okay.
I would just like to go and say yet again that these programs are vital to not only supporting our students develop the skills that are necessary to be competent employees in the future, competent higher education students in the future, competent people that are just out in the wild in the future. They're also really important to helping our staff and our teachers do the business of school. Because I'm sure Mr. Sabadini can chime in. They're not just talking about, tell me about your feelings. It's a lot about helping students understand themselves so that they can manage their own thoughts plus their own feelings, right? So that way, when they can turn and think about themselves, sometimes they can fix the problem on their own instead of teachers having to intervene so frequently, and so teachers can focus more on teaching. Also, I think it would be delightful to have a Trails experience as a board because I think it would be beneficial for us to get context of how long these lessons are, what types of content these lessons are, because I think there might be some information out there that might not be necessarily accurate. So they're often brief. Would you say that the lesson was an hour long?
Today's lesson was 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And that included a little part at the end in which they worked on their Chromebooks or whatever that they're using in the classroom to fill out. Now, that's not part of Trails. That's something Darren does on his own. But it was 40 minutes.
Yep.
The kids were highly engaged.
Yes.
So, and it was 100 degrees in the classroom because the air conditioning wasn't working. I'm convinced they put me in a hot box with Darren because his office was 100 degrees too. I said, are you guys trying to run me out of the building because it's too hot? But no, it was very good. And I will say, it's also, to your point, it's vital to the teachers. My wife experienced another incident today at Adrian in which it took 3 males to get the second grade girl out to the playground. Mm-hmm. And she said to me, I don't know how much longer I can do that. Mm-hmm. So she's been doing it for 23 years. So if you're looking for an area, so we do talk about the importance for the student, but it's also just equally as important, I think, for the employee. Mm-hmm. So,
yep.
I, yes.
So, and also for additional context, it's not 40 minutes every day.
Sure, no, it's twice, he does that twice a month.
Twice a month. For 40 minutes. So if there's cause for concern about how much instructional time, it's not during instructional time. Let's also have that context out there too. It's often during our IE time, or if there's some sort of need for an intervention in the class, that's when we can schedule it as needed. So I think it would be really wonderful. So thank you for thinking of bringing in the Trails lesson for the board.
Yep. Brian, was that the full class involved in that or a portion of the class?
It was a full class.
Full class, okay. Okay, any other discussion or questions? Mm-mm. Okay, Superintendent. All right.
Thank you. And then the other one was last Thursday night we held the hearing for the 2026-2027 calendar, pre-Labor Day start. We had 4 board members. I just want to take a moment here. So we also had that night, I think it was 4 parents, and so a small group with us. It was a really good conversation. The bigger main part of that conversation focused around just tradition of pre-Labor Day start, going after Labor Day because of vacation. And so what we reminded that parent was, families that we have families that take vacations throughout the whole school year, and they do it when it's most convenient to them, and they just need to navigate that with their teacher and their building to make that work. And but we also then too received notice on yesterday, I believe it was, or it may have been Friday. We got the email. We have been approved by the state to have that for the ready start.
Okay.
So
good. And that really confirms the motion, which was contingent on state approval. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Do we know that date in August?
August 31st.
31st.
It's the Monday. Is our first day. Yep. Which is one day before the day we started this year. As a reminder, everybody, that we're not
the way it lines
not
up.
Not starting like weeks ahead of it. We're just one day before we just did this year. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Like we're starting in August this year. That's what I heard.
Okay. Yes.
So, Superintendent comments?
Yes. Okay. So I just have a couple. Reminder that tomorrow's a half day for students, PD in the afternoon. Kindergarten pre-registration is underway. So please, if you know of anyone that has a kindergartner out there, please have them register. Also reminder that on May 5th, the Tech Millage election is occurring. David and his team did a full presentation on that tonight and why it's important for everyone to get out there and vote in the election. Young Entrepreneurs Showcase next night. So, hey, May is going to get busy, people, if you didn't know that. So Tuesday's the Tech Millage. Wednesday is the Young Entrepreneurs Showcase over at River Raisin Battlefield. It's a great setting. So please come out and join our kids and staff over there. And then the weekend after Mother's Day is our Kindness Walk. We're not doing it this year on Mother's Day weekend like we did last year, so we did learn. Deb Steelgrave was very helpful on that reminder to me. she was just like reminding me that, you know, do you understand how busy we are? So I remember that there, Deb. So, but remember though, too, as we head towards the end of April, it does ramp up. So calendar is always out there in our weekend review and other ways. So just put things on your calendar as you see them coming up. And that's all I have today, sir.
Thank you. Public commentary. Brian, do we have additional public commentary?
We have one. And Mr. Lavoie, you can come back to the microphone. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Board, staff, I appreciated some of the, I actually think it was good to have options. I understand also the real estate stuff. I understand the thing with Lincoln. I went to kindergarten at Christiancy, and Christiancy was dear to me also. So if we're talking about consolidation of buildings and selling buildings, and maybe no one's thought of this, maybe somebody's thought about this, what's the cost of this building to run this building? And could we maybe move the administration building to Sea Wing or to Orchard if the students from Orchard, and I'm saying this not jokingly, I'm actually pretty serious about it. I heard the cost of an air conditioning system for this building. It would put the administration closer to where the students are, which I think there's immense value in that. As far as land, as far as the real estate piece goes, I'm a real estate agent. I haven't run comps on what the land would be worth over there versus over here, but my guess would be the land would be worth more here. Mm-hmm. The building, I don't know. Just something to throw out there as if you're consolidating buildings, and I don't want to take anyone's offices away or the rest of that stuff. There may be a way to keep the educational-based buildings and to move some of the administrative staff closer to the kids and the teachers. Just wanted to throw that one out there. But I do appreciate the discussion on this today. I'm actually surprised, not because I'm negative about things, but I think it's great what the administration has come up with as far as options. And since there's going to be ongoing budget discussions, maybe it's just something for the board to think about and the administration. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. Is that it?
That's it. Sorry, yes.
Okay. Thank you. Board member commentary. I'll start down with Stacy. We'll go this way.
I don't have anything else at this time.
Okay.
Gary? No, I don't have nothing else. But, I said enough tonight.
Me too.
Mary?
I would just like to say that as board members, we are not the people that pick the curriculum. We approve curriculum, but our role is not to select curriculum. And also, yes, I understand that like we should have a 30,000 foot view of staffing, but I don't know if we should get deep down into the granular of like exactly how many positions and what positions and all of that, because that's what the administration staff does. That's all.
Okay, thank you. Darla?
So this is for the board. The Prevention Task Force, which is part of the Substance Abuse Coalition in Monroe that is overseen by Vicki Loveland. We had a meeting today, and one of the projects is they're making messaging and placement of signs for prom season, graduation season, to remind people about, you know, safe and maybe parents not hosting parties or whatever it is. So the task force needs people to put their signage at businesses, and I thought that would be a great community service project for the board if anybody would be interested. My hope is that you would be, and we can support this effort out there in the community as members of the board. So I'll bring you more information when I have it. The other thing I wanted to do is, I know we mentioned it the other day, but when the information was put out there about us being invited to classrooms, I said it before, but I was beyond amazed by the response we got from teachers, happy to have us come into classrooms and whatnot. So I want to recognize all of the teachers of the classrooms that I went in. Some of the classrooms I went in during the reading program, I went in and read. And some of the classrooms, I literally was there. I think the longest I was anywhere was like 8:30 to 1 o'clock or something like that. So I got to spend quality time in there. I got to look at the programming, and they just were a wealth of information that helps me be able to do my decisions up here. So I'm going to take a minute. Mary Beth Lewis over at Custer Manor. I don't have everybody's first names. There's a Mrs. Tate, Mrs. Roberts, Mrs. Willis, Mrs. Kurinchek, Cindy, help me. Thank you. Thank you. Mrs. Stepp. At Raisinville, Ms. Snell, Ms. Foster, Mrs. King, Ms. Bishop, Mrs. Anto, Mrs. Deck. I think I was in Mrs. Wilson's as well. And Hollywood, we have Mrs. McGovern and Mrs. Neves. And I believe I didn't catch the name of the lady, the staff member that does the Eagle's Nest. And I want to say Mrs. Mathis, but I'm not sure I have that right. She oversees the Eagle's Nest at the Hollywood, yes. Okay, I had an M, so my apologies to you for getting your name wrong. But thank you to everybody that opened your doors and made it welcome, and the administrative staff that was helpful as well.
Okay, Carrie?
Oh, sorry, I think my mic was on the whole time. I just went to turn it on. The budget is probably the hardest thing that we're ever going to try to have to figure out together, so I appreciate the discussion and the way tonight went. It's respectful, but it's hard work. Nobody's enjoying this up here. And we've got lots more discussions to do about it. I also wanted to invite everyone to the All City Band Concert. It's next Wednesday night. We will be celebrating grades 5th through 12 in our district with their remarkable talents. And then also I wanted to introduce you to invite you to the United Way Gala. So last year, our Monroe Public Schools put on a really nice 1920s theme, and United Way is celebrating 100 years in Monroe County this year in April of 2026. So they are having a 1920s theme on May 9th. It's at the Country Club. There are tickets available. They are going to sell out. But our jazz band will be part of the entertainment that evening, so they'll be spotlighted, and I'm excited to see that.
Is that the Great Gatsby theme?
Kind of.
Okay. We have to dress up.
Well, we should.
Carrie, where's the band concert at?
At the high school.
At the high school, okay.
I think it's in the gym.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
lots
in the
of kids.
Gym? Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow, that's cool.
Wow. Good. Brian?
I saw a reminder in our packet about my favorite day. I don't know when this exactly took place, but the College Decision Day is my favorite experience I had. When Allie was going across the stage, I look forward to being there to root kids on. I think it was an excellent idea. So that is May 1st, 12 p.m. on May 1st. So if there's any parents that want to get out there and anybody out there to celebrate with their kids, I mean, that's it's an exciting day. That's all I have.
And a couple of things. Superintendent Shaw reminded everybody about the May 5th tech millage. Actually, for those of you who get absentee ballots, I've actually already voted. Those are out. So certainly if you know neighbors and friends that have already gotten their ballots, encourage them to vote yes. And the other thing is, next on Monday, board members will get a notification that we will have our kind of ad hoc policy committee. If you want to join us Monday morning at 8 o'clock, it's kind of a pre-review of the policies that will eventually come to the work sessions.
Okay.
So you're certainly invited to that as well.
And they'll be posted. Those meetings will be posted.
Posted, yeah. They'll be posted for public as well.
Public.
Yep. Yes. And that's all I have. So that concludes our agenda for this evening. Our next regular Board of Education meeting will be held on Tuesday, April 28th, 2026, and will begin at 5:30 p.m., not 7 p.m. A board work session will be held on Monday, April 27th of 2026, also beginning at 5:30 p.m. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Support.
Support. Show of hands. Okay, the Monroe Public Schools Board of Education meeting for Tuesday, April 14th, 2026 is adjourned, and the time is 8:26 p.m.